So this morning, Psalm 107, no wonder everybody was staring at me funny, wondering where we're going. Psalm 107 and verse 23, an encouraging passage from the Lord about the storms of life that God will send our way. And it is a fact of the Christian life that it will happen, but how we deal with it is up to us, isn't it? We have a choice to make when the storms do come. So starting in verse 23 of Psalm 107, the Bible says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up unto the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." Our title today is "He Maketh the Storm a Calm." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here today to open your word and to hear from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, pray that now you would use your word in each of our hearts, Lord, that we would push aside distractions and focus on hearing what you have to say to each of us individually, Lord, and that we would truly be changed by the power of this amazing book that you've given us. And Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray you would guide us in your truth. And we love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible talks here, he's using a parable, if you will, of seamen getting in their ships, going out to sea, and facing a storm. It even mentions that seamen can see the creation of God, right? The Bible says in Psalm 19:1, that heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. And it says here that they can see, verse 24, the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. When we look at creation, if we just look at it objectively, what do we see? We see that there must be a creator. And even these people go out to seek and see it. But notice verse 25, this is the key. It's talking about God, and it says, "He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind." We know from the life of Jesus Christ that God's even in control of the weather and can change the weather whenever he chooses and pleases. And it's important for us to note this morning that when the storm comes, in this case, this stormy wind, God brought the storm. This is important for us to understand this morning. That if a storm comes into our lives, God allowed it. God didn't just allow it, God sent it. And often we don't have that perspective when they come. Our perspective is it's a surprise. God didn't really know about it, maybe, or maybe it slipped his mind. But it doesn't work that way. He commanded and raised the stormy wind. Nowhere in the scriptures does God say that if we will live for God, if we will obey God, there won't be storms. Matter of fact, it says the opposite. Go read the book of Job. Job, the Bible says, was a good man. And he did his best to serve God, and he prayed for his family, and he did all the right things, and then read about what he faced. So you're going to have afflictions. Psalm 34:19 is an example. Let's turn there quickly. God promises not only his blessings, his presence to his children, but he also promises afflictions. And notice Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So God promised that there will be afflictions. Look at John chapter 16, if you would, verse 33. John 16, Jesus here encouraging the disciples in the upper room before the Garden of Gethsemane. And look what he says here in John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Notice what he says. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's a promise from Jesus to his disciples and to us. In the world you shall have tribulation. It's a given. The Bible says, for our light affliction, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There will be storms in our life, but how we respond to them, that's our choice, isn't it? Now these people, go back to our passage, Psalm 107, verse 26. The Bible says their soul was melted. It's a very beautiful way of saying it. They mount up to the heaven, they go down into the depths, talking about the giant waves. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Is that how God wants us to respond when the storms come? For our soul to melt? No. No. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, Romans 8:18, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. In other words, we're going to have suffering. Don't lose sight that heaven's our home. The sufferings can't be compared to the glory that we will share with our Savior in heaven. Proverbs 24:10, turn there quickly. God says that when adversity comes, that we're not to faint. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. These people in this parable, they fainted. Their soul melted. Proverbs 24, 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now, in our own strength, of course, it is small, but God's on our side. And there's infinite strength available as we rely on Him. And that's the point he's trying to get across. There's going to come a stormy wind. There's going to come a storm. God commanded it. God allowed it. How are we going to respond to it? Is our soul going to melt away? Verse 27 of Psalms 107. Are we going to be at our wit's end? We've often, I'm sure all of us have used that phrase at different points in our lives. I'm at my wit's end. These people are at their wit's end in the midst of this storm. Is that what God wants? No. Now, what he does want is for us to turn to him. Notice verse 28 of our passage. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. It's okay to cry unto the Lord in your trouble. That is scriptural. When the storm does come, cry. Call out to God. He has big shoulders. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to grow through this storm. He wants you to learn. And this psalm has many little parables about suffering. And this theme of crying unto the Lord is in each one. Look at verse number 6. And I'll show you each time. This is how they respond. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 19. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. You see the theme? There's another common thing which we'll look at later. It's okay to cry, to call out to God in the midst of a storm. Look at Psalm 34, verse 6, if you would, quickly. Psalm 34, verse 6. The storms are going to come. When they do, God allowed it. God even commanded it. God designed it just for us. Cry unto him in the midst of your trouble. Psalm 34, 6. This poor man cried. David talked about himself. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man cried. Psalm 119, 67. If you turn there quickly. David in the midst of a trial. Look what he said. Psalm 119, verse 67. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. God has many purposes in allowing storms. Usually they're to strengthen us. Usually they're to push us to trust Him more, to refine us, sometimes to chastise us. In this case, the point is God has a purpose in it. He commanded it. Don't get at your wit's end. Don't let your soul melt away, but cry to the Lord and trust Him. Notice verse 28 of our passage. He bringeth them out. Now, we don't know how long this storm's going to last. Whatever storm we might be in or might be going to be in starting tomorrow, we don't know. It could last a day, it could last a year, it could last a decade. We don't know. But there's an end. Amen? Never forget that. He bringeth them out of their distresses. There is an end to this storm. God knows when that end is coming. It might take longer because we might not be learning as we should. That's up to God. But there's an end. He will bring us out. Look at Psalm 27, verse 23. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Here he's talking about when we stumble. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God never left in the midst of that storm. God never turned his back and said, you're on your own, did he? No. God's always with us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he says. So he's going to design these storms. He's going to allow them in our lives to teach us, to grow us, to work whatever he needs to work in our Christian walk, to conform us, like we talked last Sunday, to the image of Jesus Christ. But the day will come, verse 29 of our passage, our title, he maketh the storm a calm. The day will come when the storm will be stilled by God. The disciples learned this, didn't they? But Jesus, let's look at it in Mark chapter 4. We're all very familiar with this. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Again, this was Jesus. He sent them out to into the sea to cross to the other side, knowing full well that he was going to bring up a storm, make it pretty much impossible for them to get to the other side, and they just kept rowing. And then Jesus came, got into the boat, and it says, verse 35, the same day when the given time even was come, he saith unto him, let us pass over to the other side. So another storm, this one, Jesus is actually in the boat. It says, he sent away the multitude, he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there was arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. The disciples are at their wits' end. Their souls are melting away. Jesus is asleep. He's taking a rest. And they awake him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Disciples were amazed to think, and they'd seen Jesus work many miracles at this point, but to think that he could even control the weather just with his spoken word. And whatever storm you're in, there will come a day when he will make that storm a calm, when he will say, it's enough. I've done what I needed to do through this storm in your life. Peace be still. And we'll get to the other side. Verse 30 of our passage, Psalm 107. We'll be glad. Amen. Why? Because we've been brought unto our desired haven. Many Christians need to spend more time in that haven. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Psalm 91. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Some Christians wait until they're in the middle of a storm before they realize, oh, I need the haven. We need it every day. But look at the conclusion of this entire story. Remember, our theme this year is praise and gratitude. And this is the same passage. Contextually, it's the same passage. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He just told us a story about this storm and these sailors at their wits' end, their soul is melted away. And then he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. This is another common theme of this psalm. Look at verse 8. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you think God's trying to get a message across to us? We're going to have storms. We're going to have trials. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 34, if you would, verse 1. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Even in the midst of storms, especially in the midst of storms. That's the whole point of this psalm. It's trial after trial after trial, lesson after lesson. And he finishes each one by saying, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Yes, there's going to be storms. Look at Psalm 71, verse 8. And he's saying, that's the best time to praise the Lord, is in the midst of the storm. Because what you're saying is, I trust God. I'm not only going to praise him when things are good and everything is going the way I want it to. I'm going to praise him in the midst of a storm. Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. All day. David said, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments in Psalm 119, 164. And look at Psalm 145, 21, if you would. Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. That's a good memory verse, isn't it? My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. You're going to have the storm. You know, read Psalm 107 in your own time and see the different storms that God's going to send our way. He designed them. It says he even commanded the storm. But in his timing, he will calm it. But what does he want from us? Praise. Praise. And verse 32 of our passage, turn there, Psalm 107, exaltation. Bringing him glory. Lifting him up. He says in verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. One of the best places to praise the Lord is in the assembly. Amen. What we're doing this morning. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, Hebrews 2:12. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Isn't it just such a blessing to praise the Lord together? That is the conclusion of each of these trials. Four times in this psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Yes, you're going to have storms. Yes, you're going to have a trial. He lists them one after another. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, who he is. We can't stop praising him, think about all he's done in our own lives. But, and his wonderful works. In other words, all the things he's done that we can read about in the scriptures to the children of men. And then what? Exalt him. Exalt him in the congregation. That's worship. That's lifting up God. And praise him in the assembly of the elders. So the Lord commanded it, verse 25, this storm. They were at their wits' end. Their soul was melted. Not how God wants us to respond. When we have learned whatever he's trying to teach us through that particular storm, What will he do? Verse 29, he will calm it. He will say, peace, be still. But only he knows when that is. It could be a day, a week, a decade. We don't know. When it's over, we're going to say, thank you, Lord. But be ready for the next one, because there's going to be another one. But in the midst of all of that, what's the conclusion? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him for His goodness, for His wonderful works of the children of men. Exalt Him in the congregation. Praise Him in the assembly of the elders. It's beautiful. Every single one, that's the conclusion. This is God saying to us, oh, that people would praise me no matter what. No matter what they face, no matter what storm I send their way, oh, that they would just keep praising me. Just keep exalting me. But He is the one that commands it. He's also the one that calms it. Never forget that. Sometimes we are quick to say, Lord, thank you so much for calming that storm. But do we say, thank you, Lord, for the storm? Or just when it's over? That's the point of the psalm, isn't it? Praise Him. No matter what. Because He's always good to us. No matter what. The storm is part of that goodness. He's using it in our lives to teach and grow us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He maketh the storm a calm. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, how we love You and thank You that You always know what's best for us. You always know what You have planned for us, and You have a purpose in it, like we talked last week, Lord, that all things work together. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn this beautiful lesson in our own Christian walk. And Lord, if anything, that we would learn that we're to be praising You constantly, that our mouths are to be filled with Your praise at all times. And Lord, I pray that as we learn this lesson, that we would see the growth that You're bringing in our Christian walk. Thank You so much for speaking to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray, Lord, they'll realize they must be. That's why Jesus came and died and was resurrected, so that they could have eternal life. Have Your will and way in those hearts and each of our hearts, Lord, as we contemplate the storms that will come or may be in our lives now, that we're to be praising You all the time. Thank You. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.